We'll be in the book of Psalms again tonight. We'll be in Psalms chapter number 138. Psalms 137 tonight. We're in 136 this morning. We'll be in Psalms 137 tonight. And the message tonight will have nothing to do with the message this morning as far as the theme, but it's a message that I think will be a help to us, an encouragement to us in the day we live in. I have in the past Sunday nights been preaching, except for special occasions, on the subject of Israel and things surrounding Israel. And I may get back into that. We'll see. I've got some messages the Lord's put on my heart to help our church in the days ahead. And so we'll see how the Lord leads in that area. But tonight we're going to look at Psalms 137. And we'll take the time to read all nine verses this evening and see what the Lord has for us. Verse number one, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy, remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. Tonight, I want us to look at this passage, and we'll look at several things. But we see that in verse number 3, we know in verse number 1, they're in Babylon. Verse number 3, for here they carried us away captive, required of us a song. And tonight, I want to preach a message I've entitled, Singing in a Strange Land. Singing in a Strange Land. Father, help us tonight as we look into your word once again. May it speak to our hearts. May the Spirit of God guide us in the direction we need to know for decision, for correction. And Father, I pray that you would just use the word tonight to better your church. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalms 137, and as we read it, you could get a sense that it's a very emotional psalm. There's a lot of things that are expressed there, a lot of emotions that you can feel in this psalm. This psalm, it doesn't take us very long to realize that it is not written from a palace. It is not written from a place of victory. But it is not written from what we would call a mountaintop experience. This is written from captivity. Israel had been carried away into Babylon. Jerusalem had been destroyed. The temple had been burned. Families had been separated. The songs of Zion have been replaced by the sounds of chains and sorrow. Let me just stop right here and just remind us, don't take for granted what you got. Don't take for granted the goodness that we have. If we're not careful, we'll take for granted the old hymns that we have. We'll take for granted the old church that we have. We'll take for granted the Word of God that we have. We'll take all of that for granted. But I promise you, once it's gone, you'll remember. Once it's gone, and sometimes we take for granted the joy we have in our church family, and it doesn't carry the weight that it should. And when we lose it, we long to hear that old preacher that we're mad at now preach another message. We long to hear those hymns to be sung again. Don't take for granted what God has given you. But this psalm is the cry of displaced people who remember what they lost. We find buried inside this sorrowful psalm some powerful truths. This is what I want us to capture tonight. You can live in a strange land without losing your identity. This world is a strange land to the child of God. We ought to be reminded that no matter what this world does and how it changes, and the older you get, the more you tell stories of the good old days, and how things used to not be the way they are, but may it never carry our heart away spiritually. See, this is a psalm about grief, about memory, about holiness, about separation. It's a psalm about being faithful in a hostile culture. We don't have to, as God's people, change because the culture is hostile, because the culture changes. We know this, and we spent all morning reminding ourselves that God does not change. But this psalm speaks to us today. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like a stranger in the land that I live. I feel like a stranger in the culture today that no longer honors God. There's some things that we can learn from this, and I'm here to tell you that things can continue, and things are going to continue to move away from God as Christ's return gets closer. There's some good things. There's some good things that we can hold to. There's some positive things that we can point to. But make no mistake about it, the prince and the power of the air that rules this earth, he's in control of this domain for a period of time. And this culture has changed. It is moving away from God. And I'm just here to tell you that we can still sing in a strange land. We can still praise God in a strange land. We can still hold to the truths of Scripture in a strange land. You don't have to water down the Bible because it's 2026. We don't have to change the songs we sing because it's 2026. In fact, we don't have to do it because everybody else is doing it. I've got just enough stubborn in me that that's a good reason for me not to do it. Just because everybody's telling me I have to do it, I think I'll just stay with the way it is and I'll just keep singing those songs in a strange land. Let me make several points to you tonight, some application. We see in verse number 1, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. There are seasons, number 1, when God's people will sit in sorrow. Babylon represents captivity. It represents worldliness. It represents opposition to God. Zion represents the presence of God. It represents for you and I the spiritual heritage that is God. Zion represented their identity as God's people. And that was their identity. That was their home place. That was what they knew. And being removed from that, they thought of that which represented them as a people. Now, bear in mind, pay attention to what we read here. The Bible does not tell us that there were no songs in Babylon. It tells us they were weeping not because Babylon didn't have entertainment. They are sitting beside Babylonian rivers weeping over what they once had. There was entertainment in Babylon, but it was not the same as Zion. They were weeping because they remembered Zion. They remembered and longed for that home. They remembered that place that they identified with that was their home. They weep because there's still hope for people who can still remember what they lost. See, it's a dangerous thing when people become comfortable in Babylon. This is tragic in the fact that they are remembering. They were removed. Families are separated. They're in bondage. But one glimpse of hope that we see right away in verse number 1 is they still remembered who they were. They still remembered what they had. They still remembered in the good old days when everybody went to church and everybody went to Sunday school and we weren't arguing over whether what's really a boy or what's really a girl. We weren't debating if we came from a monkey. We weren't arguing over whether God really exists. We remember the days when morality ruled and reigned. We remember we weren't having to have political debates over whether or not it's somebody's right to murder an unborn baby. We can remember those days, but when we are finished is when we forget about those days. When we don't weep over those things anymore. See, a dangerous thing happens when people become comfortable in Babylon. See, many believers today that no longer weep over lost holiness. We don't weep over a nation that doesn't just no longer reverence God, but mocks and blasphemes God. We no longer weep over those churches and institutions of God that have lost their conviction and changed their way. We no longer weep over the fact we can say that prayer changes things, and it does, but we no longer weep over the fact that people aren't praying. Not only do we get to a place where we not weep over lost souls, but we no longer weep over the fact that we've lost our burden for lost souls. But at least these individuals, while at the rivers of captivity, they could still weep, not just because they were in captivity, because they remembered the way it used to be. They remembered what they had. They remembered what was taken away from them. There's going to be times when we live in this sin-cursed world where we say, remember when people weren't so hostile to the things of God? See, there's something healthy in the life of a Christian about godly sorrow. And certainly, Christians grieve and sorrow, and there are circumstances that bring us to that place, but I'm talking about a different sorrow tonight. I'm talking about the kind of sorrow that mourns what sin has done to our nation. It mourns what sin has done to our families. It mourns and grieves what sin has done in the lives of individual. It shouldn't necessarily always bring us to righteous indignation, but how about putting on some spiritual sackcloth and ashes and weeping over the effects of sin? See, we can get on our political soapbox and talk about what it was like in the days of Ronald Reagan or in the days of the good old days gone by. But friend, why don't we get on our knees and mourn what sin has done to our nation? Why don't we mourn how sin has destroyed the family? We as God's people and God's church, we ought to still continue to mourn and compromise instead of celebrate it. See, I believe what I believe because it's based on the Bible. And what I believe can become outdated as far as society. It can become outdated as far as what the world likes. But what I believe is based on the Bible. And I'm not going to celebrate or link up with compromise. I still think we ought to mourn it. They're not doing it as well as they used to, but they're okay. No, let's mourn. Because I remember what it used to be like. I remember what it was to go hear a preacher and he'd be filled with the Spirit and the Spirit of God move. But now you go to conferences, you go to certain meetings, and it's nothing but a waste of time. And we don't mourn the way it used to be. We don't mourn the worldliness that has come into the church. Where there was a day when you didn't celebrate drinking alcohol in society. Now it's celebrated in the church. See, the problem with modern Christianity, please don't miss this, is not merely that Babylon entered the church. The problem is when that has taken place, we don't mourn because we no longer miss Zion. That's the danger. We ought to keep the worldliness out and we ought to hold to the Scripture. But friend, we ought to mourn the day and say, remember how it was? Remember when our city was on every street corner, literally, was a Bible preaching church? Remember when buses ran to and fro and, oh, we don't miss, not only do we not miss those days anymore, we belittle those days. Well, there's times of seasons when God's people sit in sorrow. Number two, everybody with me tonight? I could build a whole message on this point alone, and I'll try not to preach a whole message on it in the midst of this outline. But the world wants the music of Zion without the God of Zion. Verse 2 and 3, we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, for there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. You can hear the patronizing. You have your harps, you have your, go ahead, you can still sing your songs. You can still do, nobody's stopping you. See, Babylonia wanted entertainment. Babylon wanted entertainment. They wanted the songs without the holiness behind the songs. They wanted the music without the consecration. They wanted the performance without the presence of God. If this does not describe the music in the average church today, I don't know what does. Because we no longer mourn the old-fashioned preaching that we used to have. We no longer mourn the Holy Spirit, the lack of the Holy Spirit conviction. We still want the songs that give some token thought about God, but we don't want the holiness behind the song. We don't want the consecration. And we certainly are okay with the performance without the presence of God. You can bring music in and you can have a performance, but is the presence of God there? Go ahead and sing your song. You can still have your song. You can still sing unto your God. This is true today. The world loves Christian aesthetics. Let's put the name Christian on it. Problem solved. That illustrates what's being written in verse 2 and 3. Why are you mourning? Why are you weeping? You still got your harps? I know we're in Babylon, but just put Zion on the side of it. That's the way we live today, as long as we say it's Christian. Some magic takes place. If we just put the word Christian on it, that which is unholy naturally we think becomes holy. We put the word Christian on it, even Bible commands must change and erase off of the pages of our Bible because we put the name Christian on it. What we love in our world today, inspirational talk. It's not what has God done or what will God do, but we like our motivational speeches. It's sad that the average church today, in many churches, it's nothing but a motivational talk. We like our emotional music. Now let me clarify what I mean by that. Because I get emotional when I sing those hymns. But it's because of my thoughts on what God has done for me. It's my thoughts on His mercy. It's a testimony of God's goodness. It's a testimony of what God has done for me. That stirs my emotion. But the emotional music I'm talking about is nothing more than stirring your emotions. And those that understand and know music can tell you very well that you can turn a crowd any way you want to with the music that you play. Well, we like our spiritual symbolism, don't we? It's amazing. We have money that says, in God we trust, yet we just don't give any of it to Him. Or we take that money that says, in God we trust, and we take that and we put it into sports gambling. We take that money, in God we trust, and we buy the devil's brew with it. It's spiritual symbolism. As long as there's no conviction attached to it. I'm not saying we strip Christian off of everything. I'm just saying there needs to be some conviction attached to it. I'm not saying we don't want all of our language to be discouraging. I'm just saying there's got to be some conviction attached to it. When I tell you as your pastor, you can make it, it's not because what you have is within you. It's because for His mercy endureth forever. It's because God will give you the strength, because His grace is sufficient. There's got to be some conviction attached to it. Oh, that emotion that stirs us. Why am I emotional? It's those words that reminds me of Calvary. There's some conviction tied to it. Just because you invoke the name of Jesus and put some sounds to it doesn't make it the songs of Zion. There's got to be some conviction to it. See, Babylon does not mind a religion that entertains. Babylon hates truth that confronts. So Pastor, you're walking on some things tonight. I just decided that if the devil's going to mess with me and mess with us, we might as well just not pretend who we are and what we are and just lay it out and say, this is who we are, this is what we are. And the world may change around us, our nation may change, our city may change, our county may change, but let me tell you what hadn't changed. What hadn't changed, the God of Zion has not changed. And you can say, well, you can still have your... You sing us a song. Entertain us with that old-time way. Entertain us with those old-fashioned values. We'll tolerate your old-time hymns, but I'm telling you, there's got to be something, some conviction that is tied to it. See, Babylon hates truth that confronts. It's going to happen more and more in this day. The people around us, even religious people, governments, society, does not care what we believe. We can believe as much truth as we want as long as we keep that truth inside these doors. Babylon hates truth that confronts. You know the nature of truth confronts that which is wrong? So why can't we all get along? Because truth cannot exist with falsehood. I know you've all seen those bumper stickers, coexist. It's hard to coexist when all those different religions, those symbols are trying to kill the one. It's kind of hard to get. Now get along with us as we persecute you. These captors mock. Can you sense it there? Sing us one of the songs of Zion. They do that today in the religious world. They do that today, even amongst quote-unquote Baptist people. Oh, they haven't changed with the times. Sing us one of those songs of Zion. In other words, perform for us. Entertain us. Go ahead, you worship while we continue opposing your God. What's the point? Church must guard against becoming performers for Babylon. I do not, if I can say it like this, I don't dance for Babylon. I don't sing for Babylon. I don't exercise my freedom as a preacher because Babylon tells me I can't. I don't assemble as a church because the government tells me I'm allowed to. We got to understand, I don't perform for Babylon. I don't perform for elected officials. I don't perform for county governments. I don't perform for the President of the United States. I don't perform for my congressman, for my senator. I don't perform for any of them. I have the God of Zion. I have the old songs of Zion. And my singing for them is of worship of Him. It's to remember what He's done for me. And you can patronize it. Well, we've got to put up. They have not changed with everybody else. But we have to be reminded as a church, we are not performers for Babylon. We're not called to impress the culture. I often say this is like, well, I'm just one of those dumb independent Baptists. I'm uneducated. I still say ain't. I can hardly string sentences together. But I'm not called to impress the culture. I'm not called to imitate the culture. Well, you got to get this. You got to get this accreditation for this and this and this and this and this, or people won't take you seriously. What do you mean we can? Our kids can write and theirs can't, and they're still not taking us seriously? You mean the kids in our school, the boys know their boys, the girls know their girls, and they're still not taking us seriously? When it comes to education, let me just help everybody in here tonight who is involved in our schools, and your kids are in our schools and even our college. Well, it doesn't meet the standards of this. Thank God it doesn't. I'm not trying to educate for Babylon. I'm not trying to turn out more for Babylon. Well, they're not impressed with our kids. I'm not doing it to impress the culture. We're not going to imitate the culture. I'm not going to soften the truth for culture. Well, Pastor, people just have a hard time with this kind of rhetoric. Well, first of all, I disagree with that. Second of all, to invoke a phrase from my childhood, too bad, so sad. Just because we're in captivity in a world that we do not belong to is not a call for us to capitulate and become performers for Babylon. And sadly, I'm just going to unload it all tonight. Everybody okay with that? And sadly, many of our Baptist brethren can't see when they go to the Capitol, all they are is performers for Babylon. Oh, we got this little independent Baptist voting block. We're going to get what we want from them. And they're just performing for Babylon. Oh, we got to perform for Babylon so we can get what we want. For my God sits on his throne. He raises up kings. He takes them down. I'm not softening truth for the culture. See, there's a difference between singing to the Lord and performing for Babylon. If you're new, this is what you got when you got me as a pastor. I'm easy to get along with. Somebody's like, this is the first time I ever heard you. You can't be easy to get along. I really am. I have no problem participating with a team. I have no problem just being one of the church. I have no problem with that. But when you tell me I have to perform for Babylon, I got a problem with that. When the powers that be in the independent Baptist world says, well, let's let Neil perform for us a little while, Neil's not playing that game. You say, well, you're the kind, you'll take your ball and go home. No, you're missing it. I'll take your ball and send you home. Number three, God's people must never forget Jerusalem. Number three will explain why I feel about number two, the things I said in number two. Verse number four, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? See, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. I'll get to the point in just a moment, but think about what the scriptures say. If I forget what I had, I forget where we came from, I forget the price that was paid, if I forget my heritage, how dare I make it easy on myself? Because I've forgotten Jerusalem. How dare I just, well, let me do something to be accepted in Babylon. I'm not giving up my King James Bible. I'm not taking Baptists off the church sign. But let me just do something that'll give me a little joy while I'm in captivity. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? See, they understood something. Our environment around us does affect our soul. It does affect our inner being. They were in Babylon physically, we see in verse number 1. But they refused to let Babylon enter their hearts spiritually. We live in a sin-cursed world, but that does not have to be in here. This is where we are physically, but it doesn't have to be where our heart is spiritually. Pastor, don't you understand? This is just the way it is. There are fewer and fewer of us. Well, so be it. We can be somewhere physically, but I don't have to let Babylon in my heart spiritually. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. See, what is being said here, the right hand represents skill. It represents usefulness. What is being said, if I ever lose my love for Zion, may I lose my ability to even function. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I stop loving Jerusalem, if I stop loving my home, if I forget what that is, and by the way, I can't say I love Jerusalem and become a Babylonian. If I forget, if I lose my love for Jerusalem, I no longer deserve to sing. Friend, you do what you want to do with this, but as a preacher, if I forget my love for my homeland, I lose the right. If I forget what we had in Zion, and if I forget these truths, what right do we have to assemble? What right do we have to give some therapeutic speeches? See, every believer, let me help us tonight and apply it to each and every one of us, if you're still with me. Every believer needs spiritual landmarks they refuse to forget. Everybody under the sound of my voice tonight needs to refuse to forget the day you got saved, that moment of salvation. The circumstances around it may be cloudy, but you can never get over the conviction you felt. When you put your faith and trust in Christ for salvation, you quit depending on yourself, or maybe you just thought you were hopeless and you said, I'll look to Christ. Never forget that. Never forget what God has done for you. Oh, that spiritual landmark of answered prayer. Don't ever forget the Word of God and what it's done for you. Friend, I'll not let anybody take my Bible from me. I'll not give up the Scripture. You say, well, this one's almost like that one. Well, friend, a boy is almost like a girl, but I ain't marrying one of them. I have no idea where that came from. Don't forget the landmark of the Word of God. Our nation was founded on biblical principles. We often say we have a Christian nation. The more I study history, I don't think that's true. We've never had a Christian nation. But what we did have were some Christian men who founded our nation on Christian principles. We need those spiritual landmarks. We refuse to forget holiness. Soul winning. Well, there's a lot of critics of soul winning out there. Well, that's a spiritual landmark we must refuse to forget. church. Now, people just don't go to church anymore. Well, what's their problem? Well, you know, people just don't go to church. Well, they need to go to church. There's Christians, there's members of this church right now who are sitting at home and they're not providentially hindered. They're not sick. They're not unable to be here. They were either, and you know I love you, they were too lazy to get where they needed to be, or they're just laying out of church. What's happened? They forgot what church is. They've forgotten that landmark of our forefathers who assembled together under threat of arrest, under threat of being killed for just attending church. They've forgotten how outraged they were in their political post on Facebook during COVID. Nobody tells us when we can assemble and not. Well, apparently somebody does, because you're not in church today and there's no disease keeping you from being here. We need those spiritual landmarks of biblical convictions that we refuse to forget. See, Pastor, if your preaching gets out, you're going to be unpopular. Been there, done that. As the saying goes, I have the t-shirt. But I refuse to sit by the rivers of Babylon and perform for Babylon. Because I'm just at the right age where I still remember the way it used to be. I still remember the Holy Spirit move. I still remember the full buildings. I still remember the full altars. I still remember the old leather lung preachers, as the moniker goes, who would not bend an inch on their conviction. Who I still remember Lester Roloff, who would tell a government that to stay out of their business. And friend, the day's coming very soon. Let me just tell you that this church is reminding local governments to stay out of our business. I still remember those days. See, we're living in a strange land. It's morally strange. You can get canceled in society for saying a boy is a boy and a girl is a girl. We want to trust the science to keep us closed down, but not when it comes to genders. It's morally strange. Spiritually strange. It's culturally strange. Say, Pastor, that's discouraging. Oh, how do we deal with that? We just don't forget Jerusalem. We don't forget we have Jerusalem in our heart, in our soul. See, the danger is not persecution for God's people in Babylon. The greater danger was assimilation for God's people. Refer to Daniel. Refer to those Hebrew men. The danger today is not us getting persecuted. Friend, as a church, we have been, we will be again. And the more and more that God presents us to stand where we stand, the more opportunity for persecution is going to be there. But I would rather face that persecution than assimilate to this society, than to capitulate. God help us. We have people who used to attend this church. We have staff members who used to work in this church affirming homosexuality because they have something in common with people who've left this church and don't like this church. I'd rather face a jail cell. I'd rather face being ostracized from society than to assimilate. Number four, you're wondering who that is. You could probably figure it out. If not, I may post it later. Number four, God records for us the spirit of those who oppose his people. Notice verse number 7. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. When Jerusalem fell, Edom rejoiced. What makes this particularly painful and particularly interesting, if that's even the right word, is Edom was related to Israel. And they cried, raise it, destroy it. And friend, one of the hardest things, and let me just say, God records it. And I'll not say too much tonight. The day is coming soon when those who are related to us spiritually, the record is going to be clear. It's going to be recorded by God of them saying, raise it. That old-time way, destroy it. That old-time book, disregard it. That old-time preacher, remove him. Edom pictures those who stand near God's people outwardly, yet inwardly delight in their destruction. It's amazing. Some people think I'm as dumb as they are. Oh, Pastor Neil, we praise the Lord for you. Do you know I have social media too? You know I've seen what you have been saying? Sometimes, while I use a little humor with this and a little levity, this point here is one of the most painful truths of life. Sometimes the loudest opposition against God's people comes from those closest to them. What is being said here? Remember, O Lord. If I know God, I know the justice of God. God records. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. This is why, if I ever give a warning, you need to stay away from these people. You need to get off of social media with them. You might want to listen to me, because what you don't see is them saying, raise it, destroy it to the foundations. What you don't know about is the conversations they have with the enemies of this church trying to destroy it. And I say, and I echo, remember, O Lord. See, God sees the betrayal. God sees the mockery. God sees the false accusation. God sees the spiritual cruelty. They're opportunists who celebrate destruction. Number 5. This is the last one. Maybe you'll get out without getting hit some way with this one. I don't know. Number 5. Look with me in verse number 8 and 9. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed? Happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. Number 5, Babylon will not last forever. This chapter closes with a prophetic declaration of Babylon's coming judgment. This same Babylon that conquered other nations would eventually fall itself. Friend, this is one of the great truths of Scripture. Babylon always looks invincible until God judges it. There's elements in our society that looks invincible until God judges it. Empires rise. Cultures rebel. Civilizations mock God, but not one of them outlasts the Lord. See, there's a spirit of Babylon that still exists today in its rebellion against God, in its confusion, in its immorality, in its pride, its hostility towards truth. Yet the book of Revelation tells us, if we were to turn there tonight, it says Babylon is fallen. Is fallen. God always has the final word. And Babylon can say to us, oh, sing your song. We'll put up with you for a little bit longer. We'll patronize. Hey, everybody look at the old-fashioned Christians. Everybody look at those who haven't jumped on the new wave in society and in religion. Sing your song. Look at them. Patronize them. But the day is coming when Babylon will fall. We must remember Jerusalem. We conclude tonight Psalms 137. As we've seen, is the song of pilgrims in a strange land. They were grieving. By the way, might I just say, you know what those in Babylonia need to hear? The truth. Need to hear the truth. Everything I'm speaking tonight is the truth from the Word of God. Those who are in captivity that have forgotten Jerusalem. Somebody's got to remind them of Jerusalem. Somebody's got to say, don't assimilate to Babylon. Don't give up your Bible. Don't give up the preaching of the Word of God. Don't give up confrontational soul winning. Don't give up separation. Don't give up the old time hymns. Don't give all those things up. Remember Jerusalem. Right. Remember Zion. They were grieving. They were mocked. They were surrounded by Babylon. Yet they still remembered Zion. This might be the great challenge of our generation. Can we live in Babylon without becoming Babylonians? Can we keep our convictions in Babylon? Can we keep our identity in Babylon? Let me ask you this tonight, church. Can we keep our tears in Babylon? Because if we're not careful, it's easy to become hard-hearted and cynical and hateful. That's why I've warned you in our this political rhetoric, and as polarizing as it is, don't fall in that trap on either side. So, well, they're my political enemy. Jesus died for them. Yes. We're going to stand where we ought to stand. You ought to vote where you ought to vote. We're not letting society, and I'm not letting government change what we're supposed to be doing. But everybody still needs the message of salvation. We must not lose our compassion. We must keep our tears. When's the last time you wept for your nation? I know we get angry. The devil is sly, and we fall right into this. I would say it does less to move the heart of God for us to get full of anger at the murder of unborn children than it is for us to get on our face and weep for the murder of unborn children. Most of us could give a miniature political tirade and speech. And there's a time and a place for that. And it's shameful that abortion is still debated in the halls of our government.
You're right.
When's the last time we shed tears? Not just for those unborn children that are butchered by barbarians. When's the last time we shed tears for even that mother who has been reared and living in society and been told that that's okay? When have we shed tears on those in our government that manipulate the hearts and minds? I would say this, if we got back to preaching like I preached tonight, the day would come and our society would have less abortions because there would be less immorality. And while we run and dance and we're patronized by Washington, D.C., as Bible preachers, if we would just get up and preach the Bible, we'd change society a whole lot more than we are by lobbying our local politician. So let me help you. That right there keeps me very unpopular. And so you don't have to go get somebody to not like me. I do it well enough on my own. Can we keep our memory of Zion? By the way, I'm weary of those who are of Edom, who are brothers, who are related to us, to mocking our forefathers. I thank God for the memory of Dr. Jack Hiles. I thank God for his influence on my life. I thank God for the influence of the J. Frank Norris's and the Lester Roloffs and the Lee Robertsons. And oh, we got a whole bunch today who they don't know it, but they're thinking like Babylonians. And how can you say you love Jerusalem when you mock and attack those who were of Jerusalem? The church must never forget. This world is not our home. We're citizens of another city. I leave us tonight with Hebrews 13, verse 14. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Those captives of Babylon didn't stay captives in Babylon. Friend, we are bound to this earth at this point in time. We are just a passing through. And if our Lord were to come back tonight, I would want the songs of Zion in my heart. And you know what I mean by this, because he's not going to have to find us when that trumpet sounds. We're not going to have to be like, oh, am I supposed to go now? Oh, no, we're just going to go. I have confidence in that, but I sure do like the idea of being easy to find. He looks like he belongs here. His songs sound more like the celestial city than Babylon. His look looks more like us than it looks like Babylon. Friend, don't be afraid of not assimilating to Babylon. We have a unique perspective in this day and age because we live in a country we lived in. We live in a free nation. We live in a great nation. We live in the greatest nation. And I could take the time, and we don't have the time, to talk about how God is still using America. But that can be true, but it can also be true that America is a lot more like Babylon than we like to admit. Our government is more like Babylon. Our entertainment is Babylon. Our education system is Babylon. Our society is Babylon. By the way, those who are of Babylon, it's all they know. We're wanting to debate Babylonians on why they're Babylonians. Instead of preaching to them Christ crucified and risen from the dead. Friend, tonight, I don't know why the Lord sent this message tonight, but it's a good one for us to be reminded of. I don't sing what I sing for any reason because it's a song that I have in my heart. And may we as a church determine to stay true and faithful. Don't forget when you got saved. Don't forget the prayers that God has answered for you. Remember Jerusalem. Remember. Some of you that your heart's gotten a little cold tonight, it'd be good for you to remember the good that God's used this church for in your life. I've never understood, and I'm going to finish in a minute, or two, or 12. I've never understood. This puts some perspective, though. For an individual, they find Christ, they get saved in a church. They get educated in its ministry. They learn work ethic. They get all of these things. They even find their spouse. God even does miracles in their life. Then they say, I'd just rather go be a Babylonian. Friend, that doesn't happen overnight. At some point, we forget Jerusalem. We forget what God has done. We forget who He is. No, if tonight it's like, well, I just do this because I'm told to do it. You know what you're doing? You're dancing. Because you're being patronized. Friend, I don't stand where I stand because it's popular. It's not. We live in the free country of the United States of America, but if I went and preached this on street corners in our nation, I wouldn't get out alive. And you know that's true. Sounds a lot like Babylon to me. If I went to a public school, I could do it in another country, but if I went to our public schools to preach this, I'd be arrested. Sounds a lot like Babylon. What's in your heart? Some of you of the older generation, you're like, man, I wish we'd go back the way it was. We all know this to be true. It's not going back. So what do we do? I remember Jerusalem. I still have a song in my heart. The song of Zion. And oh, there are some who say, raise it, destroy it. Remember them, O God. I know the day is coming, daughter of Babylon, when judgment is coming. I have to stop because I'm tired. But judgment does come. It doesn't always come in fire and brimstone. It comes in a grandchild that never hears a clear presentation of the gospel because you left Jerusalem. You let it get out of your heart to sing the songs of Babylon. Judgment comes. Friend, may we stay close to the truth. May this tonight, may we not look outwardly and say, that's right, Pastor. Get them. Get Babylon. Get them. There's a time and a place to preach that prophetic coming judgment against Babylon. But friend, it must start in our hearts tonight. We must continue to say, oh, Jerusalem. I remember Jerusalem. And we may never be able to go. I may never see Jerusalem again. But I don't belong to this place. I belong to another city. And I'll let God figure all that out, but I'm not going to change into a Babylonian because that's not who I am. That's not what I am. I belong to Him. Father, use Your word.